Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and just want to speak your mind. And other people's minds. I am one of your hosts, and today, again, only host, Kat MacArthur, as Cole is again out with family for today. So, I am once again free from the burden of Cole Browning to talk about whatever I want to talk about, as we like to do on these solo episodes, is talk about topics that relate more to me, that are more of my own sort of specialized area? I don't know. Just so that when Cole does return, we can talk about a topic that we can both dedicate ourselves to. So, what is said topic that I'll be talking about, me, myself, and I, today? Today, as you saw in the title, we're going to be talking about voiceover. What to expect from voiceover. If you don't know, I don't think I've ever actually said it on the podcast. So if you don't know, hi, I'm Kat MacArthur. I'm a voice actor. I work at Atlanta Voiceover Studio. I've been pursuing voiceover for a few years now and have enjoyed my time in it thoroughly and enjoy every audition I get to record, every gig I get to record. It's such a fun time. And part of what I do at the studio I work at, Atlanta Voiceover Studio with Mike Stout and Heidi Rue, is we get to help people get into voiceover, or if they've been in voiceover for a while, we get to help them tackle new areas of it. So the starting area of training, obviously when we get calls at the studio, is the most common questions we get, I get personally, is how do I get into voiceover? What can I expect? How do I do it? What do I need to learn? Etc., etc. So I thought today we could talk about a little bit of my history in voiceover and some recommendations that I can give for people who are interested in it. Because voiceover is such a fun, creative field. I love it dearly. So I wanted to just lay out today's episode of 5 generalized steps and supporting details thereof on what you can expect when tackling voiceover and how to, generally speaking, pursue it. These are the general recommendations that we make when people come in and ask questions about voiceover, when they start the training with us, et cetera, et cetera. And if anybody in my day-to-day life asks, you know, you do voiceover, right? How would I get into it? This is what I tell them as well. And where does my information come from? My history in voiceover is I wanted to be an actor when I was a young boy. I always wanted that sort of creative outlet, that creative interest, that creative profession as an actor or a writer or creative in general. And then I went to college and I majored in English and theater. And while pursuing theater, I've always been introverted, and my introversion and shyness and stage fright became so apparent to me in my theater experience, going to cattle calls and performing monologues and acting classes and whatever. And then eventually, one of the few times I spoke up in class, a friend told me afterwards that, hey, you have an interesting voice. You have a nice voice. Have you ever considered voiceover? And I hadn't at that point. So I started looking into it, that's around the time I discovered stuff like Critical Role and started getting a bit more of a view into voice actors as people and, you know, what do they do, et cetera, et cetera. And then I eventually graduated college and I started looking for work in voiceover, started looking for how to market myself. If there was a position I could find in a sort of voiceover world position. And that's when I joined the team at Atlanta Voiceover Studio and at AVS. And for the general recommendations and advice that I give in my day-to-day when people ask, not that you asked, loving audience, but I'm going to tell you anyway, there are five general steps that I recommend taking as you pursue voiceover yourself. And we'll go over those now, starting off with the first step, which is, of course, the training and the research. Training and research. This is kind of, for people who are first getting into VO, this is kind of the less sexy side of it. People don't really think about when you see any Hollywood blockbuster actor on the big screen, you don't really think about them getting acting coaching, but they do. Every actor gets acting coaching. Every actor has to be exposed to criticism and critique, and in order to build off of that and stuff like that. And often when it comes to voiceover in particular, what people are told that often sparks the interest in voiceover is they get told, oh, you have a nice voice. Have you ever done voiceover? Like I was told in college. But the thing about that, the thing about having a nice voice is it's not all you need. I get so many calls at the studio, or I get told in, you know, day-to-day conversation that, hey, I've been told I have a nice voice. Where can I find an agent? Stuff like that. How do I pursue the work? And the thing about that is having a nice voice, having that deep baritone, melodious, sexy voice isn't going to do you a lot of good if you just sound like this, and I've got a deep voice, but I don't know how to use it, and I'm not putting anything into my voice, etc., etc. Having the tool is not the same as knowing how to use the tool. So how your research in voiceover and how getting started in voiceover can start is, of course, finding free resources, finding videos on social media or YouTube, et cetera, from established voice actors who work in the industry, know what to tell you, stuff like that. And that can be a great resource to know what to expect, getting that free information, setting that sort of foundation of how to tackle this new interest. And that free info is great, like this amazing podcast. That free info is great, but eventually you will want to get active feedback on your reads and more detail on those steps that you learn about on the YouTube videos and the podcasts and the social media posts. And that will come in the form of paid training. You're going to get a coach, you're going to take a workshop, you're going to take a class, you're going to do script workouts, you're going to go to conferences, stuff like that, where you can get detailed information on how to tackle each individual step and know more of where your voice fits and how to use it. Because often people have the sort of expectation or image of what a voiceover is, quote unquote, supposed to sound like. You know, they've heard Don LaFontaine on, you know, old movie trailers of This Summer and stuff like that. They've heard Morgan Freeman narrating Shawshank Redemption, but Don LaFontaine and Morgan Freeman have great voices, but if they were not good performers that knew how to connect with copy and attract their audience and keep the audience's attention and stuff like that, then they would just be the guy who works in an office and has a nice voice because they don't know how to use it. Luckily for Morgan Freeman and rest in peace, Don LaFontaine, they knew how to use it. So getting in classes, practicing the scripts, practicing whatever different genres you want to play in, be that commercials or character in animation and video games, audiobooks, e-learning, etc. Getting training is entirely necessary for whatever area of voiceover you want to pursue. And that's a point. There are, of course, pieces of feedback and information in voiceover that will cover broader areas of it and be useful in different genres of voiceover. But the commercial read is going to be so different from lots of reads for animation and video games and etc. There will be crossover as well, depending on how the commercial is being produced or how realistic or how cartoony the animation wants to be, the cartoon wants to be, etc., etc. So there will be crossover with any bits of feedback and training you get, but it is very important to get specific training for the specific areas of voiceover you want to be in. So that's the training and research. It is important. It's not what people always expect. People often will be told that they have a nice voice and feel like they are ready to be rich and famous in voiceover. And maybe you will. I don't know. Maybe you just have a natural inclination for expressing yourself on the mic. Miracles happen. Prodigies are born at some point. I was going to say every day, but I feel like that's not true either. But that's the training and the research. Listen to people who have been through it. Listen to people who work in it. Listen to people who know what they're talking about. And that's another thing. YouTube and socials and podcasts like these, I guess, can be a good starting place. But at some point, you will want to make sure that you are getting whatever feedback you get from a working voice actor or casting director or agent, et cetera, because anybody can make a YouTube video. Anybody can make a podcast. I'm sure this is making you all trust my word very, very closely. But find voice actors and casting directors and other pros in the industry who you can verify the work of and prioritize their feedback, because you can trust what they're saying because they work in this industry. So, step two. Step two is maybe something that also people don't expect all the time, and that is the home studio. You might picture, like, you know, an actor going on to set for a live action performance on camera, or you might expect, you know, pre-COVID, the days when voice actors would book a gig and be called into a local studio to record it. Studio recordings do still happen. They, you know, there are plenty of great studios here in Atlanta, and of course in New York, LA, Texas, et cetera, et cetera. There are, of course, still great studios that voice actors will on occasion get called into to record at. But more often than not, a majority of the time, you will be expected to have a home studio to record in, and that studio will be at the term of broadcast quality. So what does it take to have a broadcast quality studio? I'm going to give you some general points of it, because I am not a sound engineer myself. These are some points that we talk about in training, and there are more knowledgeable people in the areas of the technical aspects of voiceover, of building your studio and what equipment and how to set it up, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to give you some general points on how to set up your home studio. First point, you do not have to break the bank. You do not have to break the bank. You don't need to buy the $3,000, you know, professionally constructed booth to go into your spare room and buy the additional padding for the inside of it. You can, if you have that money, eventually down the road when you've booked some gigs and have the profit, and if you want to improve your space, you can certainly do that. Or you can have just, you know, a walk-in closet with clothes hanging around, and that will absorb more of the reflections of sound. And it will, a walk-in closet can certainly, and for a lot of voice actors, does work for a great home studio. You can absolutely set up a recording space in something like a walk-in closet. I'm in my closet right now. I have taken out all the clothes and replaced them with sound panels and sound blankets and carpets and blankets and stuff like that to catch those vibrations and those reflections. But I am, every podcast you have heard from Unquestionably Nerdy, at least on my end, has been recorded in a closet. I'm in a closet right now. Sounds great, doesn't it? I have recorded plenty of professional auditions and sessions, recording sessions from my closet. I've also gone into studios and recorded with sound engineers in professionally built out technical setups, and I've done it at home. And that is a nice point. You can work from home in voiceover. It kind of switched around the time of COVID, where of course people were much less able or just flat out unable to go into home studios because of social distancing and whatnot. Around that time, it started to switch to voice actors building up home studios. And now most agents, I say most, damn near all agents will expect you to have a home studio. It is going to be an important, almost inescapable part of having a voiceover career, is that you need your home studio. You need a professionally put together broadcast home studio. And again, it can be a closet. It can be a $3,000 booth that you bought from a booth producing company. And there are engineers that you can work with to send them samples of your space, and they can give feedback on your setup and how to improve it. At the studio, we work with a great sound engineer and voice actor, Dan Friedman, who gives feedback on your space, and we'll meet with you on Zoom to discuss your space and how to improve it and how to set up your equipment, stuff like that. Because that is an important part of a home studio, is of course the space that you are recording in. Here's the golden rule for home studios. The space is more important than the equipment. You can have the best in the industry $50,000 mic. That's an exaggeration. You can have the best mic in the industry, the comfiest, most smooth sounding headphones, the best computer, all of it's great. You've spent a fortune on putting it all together. And if you are recording in your bathroom, if you are recording in an open living room, it's gonna sound like crap. That amazing microphone and wonderful interface and fast as hell computer is not going to sound good in the final product if you are in a space that is going to catch all sorts of sounds, let lots of other sounds slip in. It's going to have lots of reflections, stuff like that. The space is the most important part. You can be in a home, a walk-in closet in your home. You can be in a spare bedroom with, blankets up and pillows in the corners to act as bass traps, stuff like that. You can definitely work in that kind of space. You can be like, you know, the closet under the stairs kind of space. There are lots of ways to do it, lots of spaces that can work or can be built out. A lot of voice actors work in like PVC pipe cages, kind of, with blankets hung around them, and they record national commercial campaigns or, you know, AAA video games in that kind of space, just like PVC pipes with blankets hung around them. That can absolutely work and does all the time. So that's where to set up. That's a space to set up. Now, what do you need? Generally speaking, you're going to need a microphone, you're going to need your interface, you're going to need your headphones, and you're going to need your computer. Microphone, interface, computer, headphones. In terms of what microphone you should get, you're going to want a XLR mic, not a USB mic. The XLR mic plugs directly into an interface, and the interface will then connect to your computer. A USB mic will connect directly from the mic into the computer. That's a good way to differentiate if you don't know the difference between USB and XLR. An XLR cord is going to be like the three prongs rather than the sort of brick rectangular USB. We are at a point where USB mics are getting better all the time, and some people in a quick pinch will, if like they just have to like run into Best Buy to record to grab a microphone for a quick audition because they're on the road for something, then they'll, you know, grab a $30-$50, you know, USB mic and record that real quick. But generally speaking, for your home studio, you will want the XLR mic, which connects to your interface and which will then connect your computer. Me personally, I use a DDS Mic 2S, and I have a Scarlett Solo interface, and that connects to my computer, where I just use a MacBook Air. A MacBook Air is important rather than a different kind of MacBook, because for whatever computer you use, if it has a fan, a sort of air cooling fan in the computer, it's not going to be good because that fan is going to pick up on the mic when you are running, you know, your recording software, plus Source Connect to connect to your client, plus Zoom to get video chat with your client, plus pulling out whatever links or information you have for the session. It's going to be a lot for your computer over time, especially for older computers. So you're going to want a computer that does not run on air cooling with a fan inside of it. Or if you do, you can like get cords to extend, you know, your computer to another monitor and keyboard inside the booth while the computer with the fan is like parked outside your booth, your closet, your recording space, your whatever, so that the fan does not pick up on the mic. You can do that as well. If you just have a really good computer that you don't want to replace and was really expensive and you want to use it, but it has a fan inside of it, you can get proper cording to connect it to a separate monitor and keyboard, etc., or Bluetooth keyboard in the booth, and you can run it that way. That can work fine as well. My second monitor is just a big TV screen that I connect through an HDMI cord, even though I do have a MacBook Air with no fan. But yeah, my Mac, I have Audacity on here, which is that's my recording software. If you've recorded a podcast or if you do voiceover yourself, you probably know about Audacity. Audacity is a great free DAW, digital audio workstation, DAW. It is a great free DAW that is great to start out with, works perfectly fine. You can also use Adobe Audition, you can use Pro Tools, you can use Reaper, you can use GarageBand if you really want. The DAW does not matter with the final product, generally speaking. the DAW is not as important as how well you work with the DAW. If you work great with Audacity, even though it is a more basic program compared to Adobe and Reaper, etc., even though Audacity is a simpler program, it is free, and if you work better with it, like multitrack, I like multitrack editing and recording on Audacity way better than I do on Adobe Audition. So I use Audacity. I've used Audacity for years. I have recorded professional sessions and tons of auditions on Audacity, and it works great. There's nothing wrong with it. And at the end of the recording and exporting process, the final export, the final MP3 or WAV or whatever, is going to sound just the same, no detectable difference compared to if I had recorded it on Adobe Audition, for example. So yeah, you can definitely start out and just keep going with Audacity. Audacity works great. And then your headphones. Your headphones are going to be an important part of it, because during live sessions with live direction from a client, when they're patching in virtually over Zoom, Source Connect, etc., and we'll touch on Source Connect in a moment on what that is. When you're patching in with a remote client, you will need to be able to get live feedback and direction from the client. Like, great take, let's try it this way now, or let's adjust that word, or let's speed it up, whatever feedback they give you, then you're going to need to take that into account. Or if they need to play music for some reason, like, hey, for this commercial gig, here's the backing track that we're going to use for the background music of this commercial, let's play it for you, and you can read along with that, so you can get a sense of, you know, what the feel for this commercial is going to be, stuff like that. And you need the headphones because you need to be able to hear your client without their voice picking up on your microphones. You need those headphones. And then Source Connect. Source Connect is going to be very important when seeking representation from an agency and when booking remote work gigs. Source Connect, put simply, is a program that allows you to connect with a client remotely, and they can instantly pick up your reads and record them on your end as you're recording. During those times, it's also important to have, like, Audacity or whatever your DAW is also recording the session, just so you can have that backup recording just in case. But Source Connect is a program that allows them to pick up your reads as you are reading through during the session. Source Connect is going to be necessary in your voiceover career. People require Source Connect. Clients require Source Connect for gigs all the time, constantly. Agents will require you to have Source Connect Standard or Pro. They will have it before they hire you based on your audition, or the agencies will require you to have it before they bring you in onto their talent rosters. Source Connect, very important program, just like your DAW. So that's the home studio. That is the sort of details on the microphone, the interface, the headphones, and the computer, and some of the programs you'll need for it. Home studios are a very, very important part of putting together your space. And before we move on, now that we've discussed getting started with training and what you can expect from it, now that we've discussed the home studio and where you'll be recording, let's take a step away from the sort of main steps, the main sort of chunky bullet point steps, and let's talk about an additional point of when you can actually start pursuing auditions and looking for the work. A majority of your auditions from a professional voice acting perspective will come, most of the time, generally speaking, from your agency representation, talent agents and managers, those figures in your professional team. But while you are getting training and before you have agency representation, you can still start looking for the work. You can still start looking for auditions. And there are a couple ways to do that. Generally speaking, there are tons of ways, like casting websites, studio rosters, and marketing. Casting websites, there are websites like voices.com. There are websites like voice123.com. There is Bidalgo. If you want to do audiobooks, there's also acx.com. These are casting websites where clients will post auditions and details about their gigs, how it's being used, how long it's being used, etc. And you can go on there and post some information about yourself, post some samples of your reads, stuff like that. And you can then take that and start pursuing auditions. Lots of these websites have free versions, free profiles that you can get and just start tackling, get used to the process of auditioning. get used to seeing what scripts feel like, how people write out their scripts, what an audition layout looks like, stuff like that. And sometimes you'll book as well, right? So casting websites are going to be a big part, a big resource for finding auditions. Then there are studio rosters. Recording studios will often have talent rosters for any time clients come to them and say, hey, we have a gig. And maybe they don't have a talent agency that they work with on a regular basis. And they'll come to recording studios and say, hey, do you guys know any talents, any voice actors that could audition for this or that would be good for this gig? And so you can reach out to studio rosters and see what requirements they have for their roster, how often their roster is open. And you can, you know, get with them, get auditions that go out to their rosters. Atlanta VoiceOver Studio does have a roster for individuals who have been through training with us, just so that we know, you know, how their voice sounds. We know that they've gotten the work or they've gotten the training and feedback they need to start pursuing work with professional clients, stuff like that. So see who you can work with, what they need. You can start finding studios to work with. And it's a great thing to have those studios in your back pocket in case you're traveling to those areas where those studios are located and you're away from your home studio and you get a last minute booking and you can call up that studio whose roster you're on or just any studio in the area and say, hey, I've got a last minute booking. I'm not home right now. I'm near you guys. Do you have any space for me to, do you have any time today or tomorrow or whenever the booking is that I can book to come in? I can reserve to come in to work with the sound engineer, et cetera, recording your space, so on and so forth. So there's a studio roster. That's another way to get some auditions from other sources. And then, generally, there is direct marketing. Marketing to clients. Oftentimes, companies will have talent rosters in their marketing departments and their creative departments. Rosters of voice acting talents that they will work with or that they will send out auditions to for internal videos or commercials. Or so on, people they work with for whatever their company needs advertisement for or internal work for, internal narrations for, stuff like that. And it's important on the marketing standpoint, it is important when you are getting started in voiceover to spread the word. Don't be shy. Let people know that you are doing voiceovers, you know, post on your stories, hey, recording an audition today, this is super fun, blah, blah. Or when you take your first, workshop or your first class, as long as everybody is okay with it, take a selfie or, you know, in the booth or with the instructor or whoever, get a selfie with them, tag them in the post, whatever, if they're cool with it. Say, had a great coaching session or a great workshop with this instructor. I'm tackling voiceover, stuff like that. Spread the word that you are doing voiceover because oftentimes the first gigs you get will come from people just in your daily life that, hey, I heard you're doing voiceover. I heard you're getting started in voiceover. My company actually has an internal thing that we're recording or we're recording a local commercial, et cetera, et cetera. Would you like to record it for us? Oftentimes, that will be your first booking. Like me personally, the first booking I ever got was like my senior year of college. My dad is a now retired, but was a marching band director, a high school marching band director, and still works with tons of music departments in high schools and colleges. And when working with those schools on their shows, if they happen to mention that they need a voiceover for their marching band show, my dad will often be like, hey, my son does voiceover. Here's his number. And so my senior year of college, my dad called me one day and said, hey, this band director is going to call you. Pick up when they do. They want to hire you. They might want to speak with you. And I was like, cool. And then I was bouncing off the walls because I got a booking. So people knowing that you do voiceover in your day-to-day is definitely important. But that's a general point on, that's the sort of additional point of when can you start looking for the work? You can start looking for the work and start auditioning really whenever. Start with the pre-profiles on the casting websites. Get a feel for how auditions work and how they're listed and et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying et cetera a lot. There's a lot of information to go about. There's a lot of et cetera involved. There's a lot more detail that I could be going into. But spread the word in your social circle around town, and you can start seeing how auditions work at any point in your voiceover journey before you've gotten your demo and your representation and stuff like that. And hey, maybe you'll book. Congratulations. But on that point, on the point of the demo, let's move on to exactly that. The demo, the commercial demo. Or I say the commercial demo, we'll touch on that in a moment. The voiceover demo is going to be your calling card, your resume, your business card. It is your representation of what you can do. It is the headshot of the voiceover world if you're looking at it from an on-camera or on-stage perspective of acting. The commercial, I say commercial demo because that's the most common point, the most common demo. But the voiceover demo is the representation of what you can do as a voice actor. It is going to be about a minute to a minute 15 seconds of recorded, produced copy with, and for the commercial perspective, it'll have sound effects and background music. Same for like animation and video game demos will have the same. It will be fully mixed and edited and ready to show off to clients to essentially make them assume that, make them feel like this is the work you have done or could do. Like if I have, for instance, just a hypothetical example, if I have a Papa John's commercial on my voiceover demo that's very bright and active and, you know, conversational, really cool, next-door neighbor kind of guy, then future prospective clients will know that I can do that type of read. And now, yes, let's touch on the commercial demo. The commercial voiceover demo is going to be the demo you want to start out with first and foremost. You may get into voiceover because you want to be in cartoons and video games and et cetera, stuff like that, because that's oftentimes the area of voiceover that we first, you know, have expectations of when we're getting into the industry. And those gigs are of course, fun. But the commercial genre has so much more work, so many more auditions than the other genres of voiceover. There is so much more work out there in the commercial genre. So when you pursue agency representation or when you get on the casting websites and so on, they will expect you to have commercial samples, a full commercial demo. And you can have a great character demo when you reach out to agents to get on their roster. And they may come back to you and say, man, that character demo sounds great. Where's your commercial demo? Because if they get five commercial auditions for every one character audition, and that honestly might be a higher comparison. If they get 100 commercial auditions for every 1.5 character auditions they get, the voiceover agent is going to want to know that you can do commercial reads and that you are prepared and ready to do commercial auditions. So getting a demo is very important. That being said, when you are ready to pursue other genres of voiceover in character work or e-learning or narration, etc., or promo, so on and so forth, you can definitely get a voiceover demo for that genre of voiceover. If you want to do promo and you want to go, if you want to tackle promo with your whole heart, I don't know, then you can get a promo demo. Show off what the types of promo work you do. If you want to do automotive voiceover, you can get an automotive demo. Most of the time, you don't have to. For example, a lot of promo auditions will come through certain managers and agencies, and to get on the roster for those agencies and those managers, those management companies, you're going to want to have the commercial demo first and foremost, and then see what promo auditions they can send you as well. So it's not necessarily required to get agency representation, but if you want to pursue more promo work, it can't hurt to have a promo demo. And how to get the demos themselves, you can start out with a DIY demo, a do-it-yourself demo. Just recording, just finding scripts out there on script libraries like edgestudio.com or ispot.tv. If you look that up on your browser, ispot.tv is a huge library of commercials that you can then transcribe and to make into a voiceover demo that you record yourself. And that can be fine to start out with when you're in that stage of the free trials and the free versions of the casting websites and stuff like that. That can be fine to start out with. But when you are ready to seek representation from an agent, or when you are marketing to bigger clients, you're going to want to eventually move into a professionally produced demo. There are tons and tons of companies, Atlanta Voiceover Studio included, that make professionally produced demos. And different companies will do different demo types, like this company does commercial demos, this company does animation demos, this company does promo demos, this company does automotive demos. And there are when you're working with these companies to produce your demo, there are a few factors to keep in mind when deciding on who you want to work with. Of course, the first one is price. The demo is going to be one of your more expensive parts of your voiceover toolkit. It's going to be more expensive. Atlanta Voiceover Studio in particular does demos for $1,400 or $1,900, depending on which team member you're working with. And honestly, AVS does it a bit on the cheaper side of demo production. There are demo producers that will charge thousands for their demos. And of course, they can produce great demos. But the price is what will be a factor, and you can get an amazing demo for one of the cheaper prices, without a doubt. Another factor to ask and be sure of when you are working with any particular company is what all is involved in the demo production process. Do they, for example, lock you into, okay, you've got to do this much training with us, and you've got to do a commercial demo and a character demo and these other 15 types of demos all at once with us after 6 months of training with us? Are they locking you into that? Maybe that company is still good. Maybe the training is still good, but are you going to be ready to record all those at the end of that 6 months? Case-by-case basis. Generally, I would recommend finding a company that will just work with you on the demo, not require you to lock yourself into, you know, their full extensive process with higher prices and stuff like that. Another factor to consider is, do they write the copy themselves? You don't want a demo to be pulled from a professionally produced demo. You don't want the scripts to be pulled from commercials or characters, cartoons, video games, whatever scripts that have already been used, that have already, you know, been aired. Because if you do a Panera Bread commercial for your commercial demo, that's already been on, you know, socials and the internet and radio and etc. If you use that piece of copy, then you may go to an agency and say, here's my demo, including this Panera spot. And that agency might go, well, I actually know the voice actress who did that Panera spot, and you sound nothing like her. And now I'm going to be only comparing your voice to hers. And that's not great. You want to be able to show what you can do, not have it be a constant comparison to everybody else. You want the copies to be originally and written for you. You want unique copy written. So that is a question to ask when you're working with whatever company that you're working with. Do you write the copy yourselves? And are those copies that you write keeping up with whatever active trends, whatever changing trends are going on in the commercial world, et cetera, et cetera? That will be an important question to ask. So that's the demo. That is the demo. It is your calling card. It is how you can show off what you do. Commercial demos range from about a minute to a minute 15. The timing varies on other types of demos, whether it's character demos or audiobook demos, narration demos, so on and so forth. But for the commercial demo, your main demo, it's going to be about a minute to a minute 15. So show off what you can do. Next up, step 4, representation. As we said, you can start pursuing the work through the casting websites and through the studio rosters and through the direct marketing to clients. You can start pursuing the work at any time. Agencies are, and the agents themselves and the managers themselves, are going to be some of your best friends in your voiceover pursuit. First and foremost, agents will send you auditions. They will send you auditions, and they will communicate with the casting directors or the clients to make sure that the rates and the usage periods of those final gigs are all up to industry standards, et cetera, et cetera. Everything's proper. Everything's been communicated with. All the contracts are in order. Agencies will often lead the conversation in that regard. And then they will send you the auditions, and they will send your auditions to the clients and the casting directors to then book you on that gig. Or, you know, choose amongst however many auditions those directors and those clients receive. Agents do not ensure that you will book, because they are sending your audition. They're also sending 100 other people, and the casting director is getting 100 other people from however many other agencies they're also working with. So agencies cannot ensure that you will book. They give you the opportunities to book through auditions. And they can be a great resource of information on trends and what's going on. And, hey, have you noticed anything in my recent auditions that I can touch on, or anything that I'm doing good, anything I can push further with, stuff like that. Agencies are awesome for that. When you're first starting out, oftentimes it'll be best to reach out first to a smaller agency. There are larger, big-time, national agencies that work with clients all over the world and book national commercials. And then there are the more regional agencies, the more local agencies that, you know, in the, you know, book auditions and send out auditions for clients in, you know, their tri-state area or something like that. Oftentimes, it'll be a bit easier to get on with agencies, smaller agencies, because they will have a smaller roster, generally speaking, which means they'll have more areas, more voice types that they don't have coverage for. If you have a voice type that they don't have on their roster, then you might have a better chance of getting on with them. Same with the larger agencies. If your voice is a voice type that they don't have, or if you have a skill they don't have, like you speak a certain language, you have a certain dialect, you have a medical background, so you can do medical narration better, or medical terminology better, anything, whatever skill you might have that agency doesn't have can be a helpful tool in getting on with that agent. You can find different agencies through some different resources. One of those resources is the VoiceOver Resource Guide. You can Google VoiceOver Resource Guide, and it's a great, great list of agencies and studio rosters around the country, and I believe some around the world as well. And it'll have their websites and sometimes their contact info as well. And you can use that information to research those agencies, look over their rosters, because oftentimes those agencies will have their rosters and their related demos on their website, so that you can go through those websites and those rosters, see if they have a voice like yours, see if they have a gap that you can fill. And then, of course, you can Google VoiceOver Talent Agency Atlanta, VoiceOver Talent Agency New York City, VoiceOver Talent Agency Los Angeles, VoiceOver Talent Agency Dallas. Of course, you can do that. That works too. VoiceOver Agency London, VoiceOver Agency Paris, so on and so forth. Now, when it comes to looking into the bigger agencies, oftentimes the bigger agencies will expect you to have some work under your belt, or they might have a rule that they are, quote unquote, referral only, meaning they will only take you if you can get a referral from somebody else. That might be another voice actor on their roster to say, hey, this guy has a great read in this style, or he has a great voice type that I think would benefit you guys really well. Or it might be a casting director that you have coached with, and the casting director might say, hey, I've coached with this voice actor for a minute. They might be good for you. So some agencies will be referral only. Now, when it comes to getting a referral, you can never, never ask for a referral. You can never say, cool, I've coached with you 5 times now. Can I use you? Can I say that you sent me to this agency when I reach out to them? No, you can't. An agent, a casting director, or a voice actor, or whoever will offer to refer you. Don't ask about it, because that just puts that person, that professional, in an awkward sort of space where they have to, like, turn you down or say, well, they kind of have some voice voices like your voice type already, so they're not really looking for anybody like you, or, oh, I don't really do that because I coach a lot of people. I coach a lot of people, so I can't refer everybody, because if that person coaches like 100 different talents throughout the course of a year, they can't refer all of them to different agencies, because if part of their coaching is, I'm going to refer anybody who coaches with me, then their word means nothing because it's just part of a deal. You're basically paying for the referral, and they're not referring you because you have the talent for that roster. So don't ask about it. If they offer, great, go with it. Take it. Take that referral. Why not? And then some agencies do just open up the rosters at different times of the year. Different times of the year or different variations of time spans. At certain points, agencies will cull their roster for whatever reasons, whether this voice actor has retired from voiceover or this voice actor hasn't been turning in auditions on a too frequent of a basis. So they let that voice actor go from their roster, and you know, when they have, you know, cleared some space on the roster at that time, that agency might open up their roster to submissions for new talents to join, and then they'll be more receptive to your email when you reach out and say, hey, I'm looking for representation. And there is a whole, on that note, there is a whole language and strategy to reaching out to these agencies, but that is a much, much larger topic that we do not have time for today, because I have to go pick up my brother from the airport in like 2 hours. So that's a whole topic for later. But that's representation. Representation will be a great way to get regular auditions, and it'll be a great way to have that backing force, that agent, that manager who knows what goes into a good contract and a good agreement with the client on how your voice gets used, how the session rate will go, how the usage rate will be assigned, how long the client gets to use that audio, etc., etc. Representation is a great, great important step in your voiceover career. And then for the last point, the final point of this list, resiliency. This one is quite possibly the most important step. You will not succeed right away. Miracles happen. There have been voice actors that have a natural affinity for it, or they have some sort of creative background that allows them to communicate script copy better from the start, and they do a couple auditions on voice123.com, and they book this national campaign, and that client keeps booking them again, and that leads to more bookings later on, and that happens. It is not to be expected. That is exceptional. It is not the rule. That is exceptional. That is not the rule. You, more than likely, will not succeed right away. You keep pushing. You keep getting training. You keep going to conferences and creative social events if you're in a town that does those, like Nashville, Atlanta, New York, LA, parts of Texas with creative scenes. Chicago, whatever city has a creative population to it of actors and directors and so on, go to those social events, go to marketing events, go, you know, do online script workouts, do workshops in your area, or if you're close enough to a space that does in-person workshops, travel to those areas as well, travel to those cities that do the in-person stuff. Keep getting training, keep auditioning, keep improving yourself, and keep an open mind. Don't try not to turn in 100 auditions, turn in 1,000 auditions, and not hear anything back, because you won't. You will not hear anything back if they tell you no. You will not get feedback from a client that doesn't book you based on your audition. They're not going to come back to you and say, hey, that was great. Here are 5 things to fix before you audition for me next. Because they receive hundreds and hundreds of auditions for any given campaign they do, maybe thousands and thousands of auditions, I don't know. They receive so many auditions that they'll listen to the first 5 seconds, then the next 10 seconds if they like it, if they like what they hear so far. They don't have time. They don't have all the time and the manpower. There's not enough time and manpower in the world to listen to all those auditions and give everybody feedback. So not hearing back and not booking does not mean you're not good. In my recent coaching, I have gotten a piece of advice that is really motivating and it keeps me excited. I have heard in a couple different pieces of coaching recently with different coaches, you are doing everything right. You are a 10 out of 10 with your auditions. To get the booking, you need to be at an 11. It is not enough to do everything right. You need to do everything right and then do something special. And that is hard to define. What the heck is special? What is going to catch their attention when they've been doing 1,000 auditions, when they've been reviewing 1,000 auditions and listening to the first 5 seconds of every audition? What the heck is special? What is that last point that drives you to an 11 out of 10? Hard to say. That's why you need the coaching. It can be bits of improv. It can be a take on the script that they haven't heard before. It can be, you know, a very unique voice that they haven't heard before. It can be a very unique personality on the mic. It can be any number of things that when they hear the read, they go, oh, not only do they do everything right, not only do they make great choices, there's something about it that stands out. And that's something that I've heard in my coaching recently from casting directors and agents that I've coached with, et cetera, that gives me a lot of faith and keeps me going. So find what keeps you going. It can even be something as simple as you love it. You love voiceover. You love the process of recording. You love breaking down scripts. You love getting to see the graphics for the commercial copy or the character art for the character copy. Find why you love this industry. Because if you don't have that, if you don't have whatever keeps you coming back, then you won't. And then you'll never make it. Then you'll never have that career. And maybe that's okay. It's perfectly okay to have an interest in something, tackle it for a little while and go, not for me. That's perfectly fine. Like within any industry, with any professional, whatever that you want to tackle, whatever passion you might have, you have to start somewhere and then you have to keep going. The first step is not the end. The first step is not the end of the road. So I hope this information was useful. I hope that you can receive some sort of guidance from this conversation about voiceover. And please feel free to make it a conversation in comments. Let me know what you enjoyed about these points. Let me know what you're curious about in terms of the voiceover world, or what genres you want to tackle, or have you booked any voiceover work? Are you a voice actor? Let me know what you think. Did I get anything wrong? Tell me. I would love to be corrected. I'd love to hear other perspective, because that's another big thing about voiceover, is that like any art form, like any creative scene, it is naturally empathetic. It naturally has to be an open conversation. Trends in commercial copy and character copy and voiceover in general change all the time. So you have to be receptive to feedback of, hey, that reads great, but we're actually looking for this new thing nowadays. And again, back on the point of empathy, you are communicating to someone, and communication is a two-way street. You are communicating some sort of intent in the piece of copy in front of you in order to share that with your audience. You want to have some sort of effect on your audience, and to do that, you have to be able to stand in their shoes, hear your reads, how they're hearing it, right? So remain open, remain excited about voiceover. Tell me what you think. And hey, in the comments, tell me who your favorite voice actor is. Is it me? That's very nice of you. But thank you for joining, and we hope that Cole will return soon. Yeah, I guess. And until that point, don't forget to be unquestionably nerdy. Good night.